celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. I met the founder of Stella & Chewy's, Marie Moody, at Super Zoo recently, and I wanted to chat with her about her company. Hi Marie, and welcome to the show.
Hi Susan, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, how long has Stella & Chewy's been in business, and what made you start your company?
We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, actually, last month, and I started Stella & Chewy's because I rescued a sick dog, actually, many years ago, well, 12 or 13 or 14 years ago, and that was Chewy. And so I did a lot of research about pet food and the importance of feeding healthy food and came up with, you know, a way of feeding that I wanted to share with other people after I saw Chewy recover.
You know, I think a lot of businesses start with something personal, and you know, I don't know if you thought that your business was going to, congratulations, by the way, have its 10-year anniversary. And
what, in
your opinion, sets Stella & Chewy's apart from other brands of pet foods on the market?
You know, it's a great question. I mean, I think that what you were saying earlier is that a lot of people start businesses because of a passion or a love of something or a need to share something with other people. And I think that that's one of the things that sets Stella & Chewy's apart is it's really founded because of something that I came up with that I used for my own two dogs. And, you know, on a more macro level, one of the things that sets Stella & Chewy's apart is that we manufacture all of our own food in-house.
That's very different. That's very different, isn't it?
It actually really is. I think that people often assume that pet foods are all, you know, that, you know, all these different pet foods have different manufacturing plants and people have control of their ingredients and quality. And in fact, you know, a lot of plants and pet food companies really don't. And it was important to me, you know, when I started to sell Stella & Chewy's, you know, on a more national basis, that I'd be able to control everything from, like, where we buy the meats and source the meats to, you know, the kind of people we do business with and how we do business. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, it would be something that I would feed to my dog.
Well, now, was your background, what was your background when you did start your company?
You know, I'm somebody that really took a while sort of to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do. My background is in fashion, so I was in sales and marketing, and I really wasn't passionate about it, though. I sort of felt like I wanted to do something that, you know, was more meaningful to me, and I've always loved dogs and animals in general, and, you know, when Chewy was sick and the vet told me, you know, this dog's not going to make it, et cetera, but, you know, you can give it a shot, you know, definitely watch what you feed him. And, you know, after doing all that research and finding out how little people knew back then about pet food and about how to feed animals, you know, our pets, it really inspired me to try to, you know, it's been a lot of education. It's been a lot of me to educate people in terms of, you know, the appropriate species, appropriate way to feed an animal.
Well, I think it's an inspiration for people that are listening that may not have that specific background, but they're passionate about something. And once they delve into, you know, research and educating, it means that the whole world is opened up and that they can do something that maybe they didn't think they could even be a part of. So since you've been in business for 10 years, what trends are you noticing as it applies to the health of our canine companions?
Well, I think that with the advent of the Internet and really the proliferation of information that is available to people now, the thing that I've noticed is that people in general are a lot more educated about nutrition, first, you know, for themselves. And as they become, you know, more educated about how important fresh food is for themselves and their other family, you know, members, it's trickled down into the, you know, how they feed their pets. So I think that, you know, 10 years ago, when talking about feeding this kind of a diet, people were like, what is this? And, you know, people thought I was crazy. And And now it's really much more acceptable. I wouldn't really say it's mainstream yet, but certainly most people have heard of, you know, a meat-based diet and the importance of not feeding, you know, corn-based or soy-based and, you know, things like that.
Well, I've been hearing a lot about obesity in our pets. Have you been? Is this something that concerns you? Because it sounds like it's on the rise.
Well, obesity in general is on the rise, right? I mean, you know, I was just having this conversation actually with a friend of mine, and she was talking about how her brother-in-law's dog or something like is so overweight, and how so many people equate, like in their mind somehow, oh, the dog is fat and that's okay. That actually he looks good fat or that's fine. And, you know, are very surprised to find out that actually that's a surefire way to take 5 years off your dog's life. You know, you must keep your dogs at the right weight. They're better actually to even be on the leaner side. People get nervous when they can feel the ribs on the dog. But that's right. How they're supposed to be. And in the wild, they would never have had the opportunity to be so grossly obese.
Well, for us, if we're new to Stella and Chewy's, we're going to go online to stellaandchewys.com. What are some of the options that we have? What are some ingredients or even some of your top sellers that we would have an opportunity to order?
Sure. Well, we don't sell anything, you know, online directly ourselves, but we can, if you go to the website, it can direct you to stores that do sell online. And some of our best sellers are like the Duck Duck Goose. We have freeze-dried and frozen. We have food for complete meals for cats and dogs. And then we have a whole line of treats. One thing that's been very popular recently has been our new line of exotic proteins, and that's like the venison and the rabbit, and we just launched what we call phenomenal pheasant, and the dogs and the, you know, everyone seems to really like that. Yeah, it's all sourced in Wisconsin, which is where our manufacturing plant is.
Oh, wow. You know, I think that's really interesting, too, because it makes sense that our dogs are, you know, they're getting a sophisticated palate now just because the pet guardian is paying attention, right?
Right. Well, dogs like to have some variety in their proteins and such as well. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to eat the same thing every single day, although I find myself eating the same lunch every day.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, I really enjoy looking at your website, StellaandChewys.com. It's fun and it's informative. But what was really cool was to read the fan letters. Do you have any favorites you'd like to share? There, you have quite a lot on there.
Yeah, do you know, I mean, gosh, my favorite. I think, you know, what we got one recently, let me see if I can pull it up. It was... We do donate a lot to rescue organizations, and it's such important work that these people are doing by, you know, really trying to help and foster the animals that, you know, need homes and aren't as fortunate maybe as our own. And so we got this one recently with the cutest picture, and it says, that's the greatest part, right, are these adorable pictures of this is Annabella, who is one of 12 puppies rescued in their mommy's belly from Lancaster Shelter. Mama was scheduled to be euthanized when we saved her. The next day, she gave birth to 12 adorable pups. Can you imagine? 12.
No, no.
8 of them. They're 8 weeks old now, and most are already in their forever homes. Mama was so thin that without the Stella and Chewy's, she might not have made it through her intensive labor. So thank you so much, and you are responsible for 12 new lives.
So. Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine that kind of labor?
Oh, my God.
So,
medic.
I mean, things like that. I mean, when the dogs come into the shelter system in general, a lot of times they're too nervous to eat. And so what we find is the freeze-dried is highly palatable, and, you know, the shelters are able to get some of the dogs that are maybe, like, not willing to eat, you know, able to get some nutrition into them that way.
Well, you know, for those of us who are really educating ourselves, like you did, and they're starting to look at labels now, what advice would you give people and what to look for when reading labels on pet food?
Well, first of all, the very fact that somebody's reading a label, I would applaud. Because it means that you're not just looking at the picture. And, you know, it can be very misleading, and it's important to look at the labels and, you know, try to avoid buying foods with ingredients like corn or soy or meat meals and other mm-hmm. sort of unidentifiable ingredients. Mm-hmm. And if you still have questions about, you know, an ingredient or what's in the food, my recommendation really is to speak to the people in the pet stores. A lot of the salespeople, at, especially the independent specialty stores, are really pretty educated and can really mm-hmm. help out when a customer might have a question and want some advice and, you know, what might be the best food for their pet.
Well, it's good advice. And congratulations once again on your 10-year anniversary. And thanks for supporting the Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour.
It was our pleasure. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of it.
For more information, log on to StellaAndChewy's.com. And that is spelled C-H-E-W-Y-S. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about the no-kill mission of Best Friends Animal Society in Utah. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Phyto-Friendly Magazine presents the 5th annual month-long pet adoption tour, Get Your Licks on Route 66. Sponsored by Ford and Animal Radio, with accommodations provided by Kempton Hotels. And special thanks to Car App sponsor, Stella and Chewy's. And our safety sponsor, TAG, the GPS Pet Tracker. This life-saving tour travels from L.A. to Chicago, supporting adoption events. Log on to phytofriendly.com to find out where the tour stops in a city near you and join the Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, saving lives one shelter at a time.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. Now, a few years ago, my husband Greg and I were lucky to be able to visit Best Friends Animal Society in Kanab, Utah. This is one place folks interested in rescue should put on their bucket list to see. And here to tell us about this special haven for animals is Barbara Williamson. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to hear from you. Happy to be here.
Oh, yes. Oh, I've been waiting to talk to you because it's been quite a while. So tell us a little history behind Best Friends Animal Society and how long you have been saving animals.
Well, Best Friends Animal Society started in 1984. We're coming up on our 30th anniversary next year. And it was literally founded by a group of best friends who were doing their best to help animals. They moved to southern Utah. I often jokingly say it's strategically located in the middle of nowhere, but it's actually the most incredible, knock-dead, gorgeous country. We're in the middle of the Golden Circle of National Parks. We're less than a 2 hours drive from Bryce, Zion, and the North Rim of the Grand Canyon, as well as Grand Staircase Escalante Wilderness Area, the National Monument.
It's very stunning. People don't even realize that when they're out there driving around, and there you guys are. And I know that from the TV show Dogtown, it might have put Best Friends a little more on the radar. Did this help bring more awareness to the plight of homeless pets, in your opinion?
Well, yes, it absolutely, for people that had not heard of us before, it definitely did help. We get our visitors from literally all over the world, and we certainly did see a spike in visitors related to that. And once they got here, then of course we could, you know, show them everything. The dogs are a big, important part of what we do, but we definitely are dedicated to ending the killing of adoptable dogs and cats and other animals in our shelters. And we have nationwide outreach. And here at the sanctuary, we have Dogtown, Cat World, Marshall's Piggy Paradise, Parrot Garden, Horse Haven, Wild Friends, and the Bunny House.
I know, it's not just about the dogs, that's for sure. And I understand that people can go there and have a working vacation. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. We could not do everything that we do if it wasn't for the volunteers who both come here to the sanctuary as well as help across the country. And you can definitely go to bestfriends.org and read all about the volunteer opportunities. And you can register online before even coming out to the sanctuary so that you have your volunteer visit all mapped out before you even arrive.
So can people stay on property, or do you have accommodations there for them, or do they stay nearby? How does that work?
Well, we have a few cottages and cabins, and they're in huge demand, but in the nearby town of Kanab, as well as the outlying area, we have many, many opportunities for people to stay not only at local hotels, but there's vacation rentals by owners, there's bed and breakfast, and of course there is one of the most overlooked things is we have a state park called the Coral Pink Sand Dunes, literally across the street from the sanctuary, and there's a campground out there, and then there's RV camping in Kanab as well.
Well, I imagine these volunteers, a lot of them probably leave with a new forever friend.
It happens. certainly we're always very happy to have our animals adopted and go home, as well as they're online and people can look for them there. But the other thing that is interesting is that because of the way the sanctuary is set up, people will come and they volunteer and they get engaged with animals, but they also realize that they can adopt from their local shelters, and we certainly encourage that as well. So they get inspired at the sanctuary, and then they go home and get involved in their local community. And all of them need homes, so we're happy to have them adopted from the sanctuary, as well as go and look at their local shelter or rescue group.
Well, one of the other things I know that you were in the news lately for, Fighter Friendly had paid tribute to Victory Dog Lucas in its summer issue. And what would you like people to know about the dogs who were rescued from the Bad News Kennels from Michael Vick?
Well, I think, it's been enough years now that I don't think it's top of mind for most people. But before the Victory Dogs, before the Michael Vick dogfighting situation was broken up, dogs that were confiscated from dogfighting had absolutely no hope. They were deemed to be damaged beyond repair, and they were always put to sleep. This was the first time, and it was by court order that these dogs were given a second chance. And 22 came here to the sanctuary. There were many good rescue groups such as Bad Rap that also took dogs from. There was 47 dogs rescued, and we took 22 of the 47, and the others went to other rescue groups. But one of the things we really want to emphasize, whether you're talking about a dog rescued from a dogfighting operation, or the stray that you found on the street, or the loving pet who lost his home because his family lost their house and they can't take care of him anymore, is every dog, every cat, every homeless pet is an individual. And they should be treated as individuals, and that's one of the things that's so important. Until you get to know the animals, you don't know who they are.
Yeah, I think too. When Lucas passed away, and I had read a note about that, it really touched me because his face was pretty scarred up, but mm-hmm. He looked like he was just a sweet individual.
Oh, he was wonderful with people. He absolutely loved people. He did not live with other dogs. He was one of those that never would be living with other dogs. But he was amazing with people. Now we have other dogs, like one of the most famous, of course, out of the Victory Dog situation is Cherry, who lives with a cat, a baby, and another dog.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just fabulous. And in fact, he was out here last March. Several of the families decided to have a reunion here.
And, oh, that's amazing.
And all the dogs and their families all stayed together at a local lodge. And it was great. And that's the thing. Again, individuals, some of the dogs, frankly, they don't do well with other dogs. And then we have some that do very well with everything. And so each dog had to be evaluated, had to get a chance to show who they really were. And then the trainers and caregivers worked on life plans to help these dogs really blossom. And,
well, I think that's
all
good.
Now have over half the dogs have been adopted and are living in homes.
It's amazing, and it's just a good reminder for people, too. And I know there's a lot of misconception, and there's a lot of fear out there. So for people who would come in and adopt a dog that, you know, people are afraid of and bring them into a home with a family, you know, certainly they're ahead of the curve in that way, that they understand the dog and the different things that they need to do and how well that dog's going to fit into their lifestyle.
Absolutely. And you know, it's always strongly recommended that you go through training with your dog and do learn their personality. I mean, I've met, we actually have a Labrador Retriever, believe it or not, who belongs to a staff member. Wonderful dog with people. Horribly dog aggressive. You would never say, I've never met a Labrador Retriever before that wasn't good with other dogs. This guy isn't. But and absolutely matching up, you know, for the energy level and how much time you're going to be home with the dog, and you're looking for, you know, each family is different, every dog is different. And that's part of making sure that dogs get to stay in their homes is getting them matched up with the right people in the first place. And the same is true, again, for the other pets. For instance, in our horse department, they have a whole series of criteria. And I am not a horse person, but people that are would understand all this. There's right brain, left brain, extrovert, introvert. And they're very specific on they have very definite personalities. And they're looking for adopters who match up well with that particular horse. So that's an important aspect with any pet you bring home.
Yeah, it's still an education. I really believe that. I think it's going to be ongoing. Now, your website, bestfriends.org, has a lot of ways that people can help, either by volunteering, donating, and my favorite thing, shopping. So what are some of the fun items available at the Best Friends Society store?
Well, if you are visiting at the sanctuary, at our Welcome Center, we have a gift shop, and it's got all sorts of stuff. We've got purses with cats and dogs on them, keychains, lots of T-shirts, lots of other type shirts, hats. There's leashes and harnesses. There's dog and cat toys. There's biscuits for cats and dogs. We even have a line of coffee that an Olympic skier named Shannon Barkey started called Silver Bean. And the coffee bags come with a portrait of a particular animal on them, and there's blankets, and there's puzzles and books for kids. There's all sorts of stuff. And then online, when you go to bestfriends.org, in the upper right hand, the very top, there's a line, who we are, and the next thing is shop. And if you click on that, you'll go to our online store. But there's definitely, and it's always changing at the Welcome Center. There's all sorts of fun things.
And then, so this directly helps the proceeds. Part of the proceeds directly helps everything that you are doing there at the Best Friends Sanctuary.
Yes, absolutely. And the same for in our online stories is with a corporate partner called WAG. So, but you can go to bestfriends.org, click on the shop at the upper right hand corner, and it'll take you to their site.
Well, that's fantastic. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And I want to wish you continued success in all you do to help our animals.
Thanks. And it's always great to talk to our friends at Fido Friendly.
For more information, log on to bestfriends.org. That's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. For more information about today's show or about traveling with Fido, log on to FidoFriendly.com. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at AnimalRadio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.